All right, everybody should have grabbed. There's a page of Ephesians on that back stand. If you don't have one, you'll probably want one. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 14. We're going to be starting studying Ephesians from now, kind of through the spring, but we're going to be focusing on those later chapters, 4, 5, and 6, spending more time on the Christian life and what Scripture has to say about the Christian life. And there's a lot of very pertinent and applicable counsel. But of course, all of that is built on the foundation of Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 and the truths that are there. And you can't make sense of those, the things that he's going to tell us in 4, 5, 6 without chapters 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to go somewhat quickly, one or two lessons on chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll slow down and go piece by piece in 4, 5, and 6. So Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 14 today. All the spiritual blessings in Christ to the praise of God's glory and grace. So I'm just going to read this, and then we'll make a few laps through, because there's a lot of stuff in these opening verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. All right, we've got several big themes that we're only going to highlight this morning. The first one that I want to do, these blessings that we have. All right, I'm going to read through it again. If you got a pen or a pencil, you might just take your pen or pencil, put a check mark or a circle or underline something as we read through, and we're going to look at what are the blessings that God gives us. Because he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And this whole passage from verse 3 down to 14 is almost a bullet list of those blessings that come to Paul's mind. He lists them out. He says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Then he kind of gives us a litany of what those blessings are that we're talking about. So I'm going to read through it again, and you can just make note of what are the blessings that God has given us in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you first heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. All right, if you mark some of those, what are some of the blessings that God has given us in Christ? All right, I heard adoption over here. Redemption. Inheritance. Forgiveness, yes, and the redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins or trespasses, he says here. Yes. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, verse 4, chose us. Verse 5, predestined. Yes, the predestined there, there's a purpose with it, according to the purpose of his will. He chose us. What did he choose us for? He chose us to be holy. Maybe I'll use a different color here. Chose us to be holy, blameless. He predestined us for adoption. What does the word blessing mean? He uses it a couple ways here. Verse 3, for example, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Okay, so what does the word blessing mean in each of those places? Fortunate? Deserving of good? Probably you mean God. God is deserving of good? Yeah, in the Old Testament, a lot of times they say, bless the Lord. And it's a way of saying ascribe to God, give to God praise. Acknowledge with your mouth and worship Him that He's worthy of praise. Favor, yeah, fortunate. You are favored by God. That's what it means to be blessed by God, is that He's giving you favor. He's looking upon you with a favorable and gracious attitude. And He's giving you things out of that favor. Yeah, that's a great way to describe that. Favor. It's the favor of God. I mean, I suppose verse 3 could mean God is blessed, meaning the source of all blessing. He is blessed. He is blessedness, the source of all blessing. So in all these things, what did God... God did these for a reason. He chose us and predestined us, which, why do you think He starts there? Of all the blessings, He starts in verse 4 and 5 by talking about you're chosen, you're predestined. What are we chosen for? He chose us to be holy and blameless before Him. He predestined us for adoption. All right, so if we're starting with these, is there a reason why He starts with these blessings? They're foundational. How are they foundational? Yeah, very, very good. Anything that God does, I'm just going to, for everybody who's at home, I'm just going to keep repeating everything. So you guys, if you hear it, you get to hear it twice. Everything that God does is after this. It's subsequent to this. It's based on this. This is the foundation. God did this first, and that's why He does all these other things. They're a fulfillment of what He planned for us. He planned for us to be holy and blameless before Him. He planned for us to be adopted as His children and to be brought into His family. But of course, we weren't there at the first. So He's got to get us there. But it all begins with these plans right here of what He chose us for and what He predestined us for. That's all. Yeah. Yeah, Dave said back in Genesis, Adam and Eve, they were in this state of holiness and blamelessness before God and then lost it. And so to get back into that state, we have to come in through redemption. We have to come in through the forgiveness of Christ. And we come in through His blood. Yeah, Paul. Yeah. It's the beginning of God highlighting that this is all from God's grace. The reason behind this, the cause behind all of this, is is not our works, but it's His grace. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so another purpose, he said, verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. All of this, our existence, first, and then the redemption that we have in Jesus, is so that we would glorify God. And you know, if you are ever tempted to think that this picture of God, talking about the doctrines of grace, talking about Calvinism and Arminianism, if you ever think this is a cold-hearted doctrine, I mean, how many times does the word grace and in love, God did all these things for us? That shows up so many times in this passage, that in love, He predestined us. He chose us to be holy and blameless before Him. And all of this is so that we could exist and live for His glory and live for His praise, to the praise of His glorious grace. The people who have tasted His grace would know how good God is and love Him for how good He is. And, you know, if you've, well, any relationship, it doesn't have to be parents and children, it can be any relationship. You know what it's like to be on the receiving end of someone's grace who is just being kind out of love. It's really nice. It feels nice. It imparts joy to you to be the recipient of somebody else's grace and kindness, doesn't it? Well, God is pouring out the riches of all of His kindness on us in Christ. And so when we're on the receiving end of that, I mean, what do you do when you're on the receiving end of somebody's kindness? Gratitude swells up in your heart. Thankfulness and joy swell up in your heart. And you just think of that right there. Grace, kindness is being given this way, and it's producing thankfulness and joy on this side. That's what our relationship with God does. There is nothing cold-hearted about a real New Testament kind of relationship with God the Father. It is grace and kindness, and it is gratitude and joy. And if we're not experiencing those, the fault is not with God, is it? It's usually with us. I should say usually with us. The fault is with us. If we're not experiencing gratitude and joy in our relationship with God, it's because our judgment and mind are being clouded, or we've let circumstances overwhelm the way we're feeling and let our emotions take over. And Ephesians 1 starts right here for a reason, to reset all of that. Any other thoughts about these blessings? What does adoption indicate? So I agree. I think this choosing us and predestining us are foundational. And he says he predestined us for adoption as sons. So we're becoming we're becoming God's children. We weren't God's children, we're being adopted in as God's children. According to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He's blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood. So I think when He says He's predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, this adoption, which is through Jesus Christ, what does He mean by through Jesus? I think He means you're coming through His redemption. You're coming through His blood. You're coming through the forgiveness of Jesus. That's the way you were adopted. That's the way you got adopted. That was the door by which you came into the family of God. Back into the Father's house. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. Now, what is this wisdom and insight in verse 8? That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? He lavished all this grace upon us in wisdom and insight. What does that mean? Good question. Is that God's wisdom and insight, or is that our wisdom and insight? What are we talking about in this verse? God's wisdom and insight. And what's the wisdom and insight of God that He has in mind here? Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of His will. What's the mystery of His will? Yes, to unite all things in Him. This was God's plan for the fullness of time. And we had computer issues. I wish I could have had the video up here for you. You need to write, I'll give you, you can write this down on your paper. And I'm going to have to erase this because I'm writing too big. Okay, you need to look this up on YouTube. Actually, you can watch part 1 through 4. Kimyal, part 2. So this is the name of a tribe out by Trevor Johnson. It's not the one he's ministering to. It's another one in Papua New Guinea. So just across the border in Papua from where Trevor's at. Trevor's on the Indonesia side. So the Kimyal tribe, and I got to talk with, at the time he was maybe 70 years old. The man John, and I forget his last name, he's a Canadian guy, but he moved to the Kimyal tribe 40 years ago. And he was the Bible translator and the evangelist for that tribe. And so he moved there as a Bible translator. He lived there for 20, 25 years translating the scriptures for them. And as he was living with them, he was sharing the gospel with them. He was discipling them. Several of the leading men in the tribe are saved. And this video is a video of the day that they receive their first Bibles in print, the entire New Testament. Because he'd been translating it, and over the years, he was teaching them to read it. And so they had little portions of different scriptures. And they have a huge celebration. And the MAF plane comes in and lands, and the tribe is lined up all down the runway, and then several of the tribal men, and they've got all their tribal festive garments on, and they're marching with these Bibles down the runway. And before they open it up, one of the chiefs of the tribe prays, They quiet everybody down, and he prays, and he says, Lord, of all the tribes on the earth, the ones you passed over, of all the generations of the earth, and all those you passed over, on this day, this month, and this hour, in your plan from all of eternity, you brought to us this man who gave us the gospel of Jesus. And you gave us your word. It's one of the most moving things you've ever seen. It is the most beautiful thing. And the first time I saw it, I thought, that will make every American Arminian, and I don't get on this rant almost ever. You guys, most of you can attest to that. That would make every Arminian Christian in the world blush. And it sounds just like Ephesians 1. Because this man, he lived that reality that for whatever reason, in God's mysterious providence, he knew that generations had come and gone, and he knew in the mystery of God's providence, in his own generation, in his own day, it was God's time to bring the gospel and make known the mystery of God's will, that it was to unite all things in Christ, and God made it known to him in his own day. I mean, it's really powerful. You have to watch it this afternoon. And do you remember, is it old Samuel in the, not Samuel, who's at the temple waiting for the, Simeon, waiting at the temple. He's waiting for the redemption of Israel. Waiting for years and years and years. I think it's got to be the same kind of thing that he's holding the baby Jesus going, I cannot believe that my eyes have seen the redemption of Israel. And that's what he's talking about there. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Paul's telling the Ephesians church, God has made known to us the mystery of his will in the fullness of time to unite all things in Jesus. Things in heaven and things on earth. So thinking about things in heaven and things on earth, in verse 3 he says, he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What's meant by that? Does it mean no earthly blessings? Earth is bad. Life on this planet is bad. Your flesh is bad. Keeping it safe in heaven for us. Yes, I think that is part of it. I mean, I think spiritual, you could almost put a capital S there. This is God Himself giving us every spiritual blessing. The Holy Spirit giving us blessing. And as God is giving us His blessings, it's going to include everything in heaven and on earth. And right now, He has already solidified His kingdom and His rule in the heavenly places. And like the book of Hebrews says, it is now being worked out in our very midst. And God, person by person by person, is bringing everything under the feet of Christ. And then one day, there's another, you know, the fullness of time happens a couple times in God's scheme, that there's going to come a day when everybody that needs to be saved is going to be saved. Again, that's the mystery of God's will. But he says, when that last person is saved, There's a point in time where God says, that's it. And then He returns. And when He returns, He finishes that work of putting all things under Christ's feet. But He is doing that right now through the gospel. And part of the mystery of His will is that He didn't do it by simply destroying all His enemies. In the riches of His grace, He's doing it by saving His enemies, by adopting them as sons, by taking sinners and saying, you're going to be holy and blameless before me. Okay, I want to keep moving here. We got like 10 minutes left. I want to read through this again one more time. This time, I want you to look at the times that it says in Christ, in Jesus, through Christ. So you can just make a note of that, maybe underline it or make a different marking on there. Starting in verse 3. Actually, we'll just start in verse 1 again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. All right, there's one. He's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him. There's another one. In Him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. There it is again. He's blessed us, but that blessing is in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. There's another one. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him. There's another one. Things in heaven and things on earth. In Him. There's another one. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, there's another one. You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, there's another one, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. All right, we have to put a circle around this. All of these things are in Christ. If we've got the Father over here, we've got Jesus here. It reminds me of the Gospel of John where Jesus says, the Father loves the Son, and He's given all things into His hands. You know, thinking of any of the Scriptures, what blessings does God give us outside of Christ? Come outside this circle, what blessings does God have left? Yeah, so Matthew chapter 6, He makes the sun shine on the just and the unjust. He provides rain in due season. Are those eternal blessings? Okay, the eternal, heavenly, spiritual blessings He gives in Christ. It's in belonging to Jesus. It's in our incorporation with Him that we get all of these blessings from the Father. And outside of that, there are not eternal blessings. There's not, you don't find salvation out here. You don't find inheritance out here. You don't find redemption. You don't find forgiveness of sins out here. All of it is in Jesus and only in Jesus. And all of these things, is, you know, we've read this several times. Well, if you, for us, how many times did we read grace? In love, He predestined us. He's going to say in kindness in chapter 2. He lavished upon us, verse 8. And so here we are. How do we get brought into this? There's a couple times He mentions it in seed form in these opening verses. Through adoption. There was something that happened. Look in verse 13 and 14. There's something that happened here that did that joining work. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. We're over here. We heard. I'm going to put some big ears on him. We heard the word of truth. And in God's powerful working, He decided He was going to use that as the thing that brings us in and mixes us with all of this. The Holy Spirit comes and joins us. I don't know if this is a great picture or way to do this. It brings us in and joins us to Jesus. When you heard that word of the gospel, the word that was proclaimed to you, this is what it means, that this is the power of salvation. God did all these things. Christ came. He was crucified. He died for sinners. And when we hear that message, and the Holy Spirit comes, and in the mystery of His will, He says, because He chose you and predestined you for adoption and to belong to Him and to be one of His children, that's why, motivated by grace, by His plans, He said, I'm going to bring you into the realm of My Son, into union with My Son. He's uniting all things in Jesus. And He's doing it person by person by person. And when we are joined to Jesus, all of this becomes real. It's like the lights get turned on. I mean, obviously, He chose us and predestined us before the foundation of the world, is what it says. But when the Holy Spirit comes and brings us in, all of that redemption is applied to us. There's a book called Redemption Accomplished and Applied. Accomplished by Jesus, applied by the Holy Spirit. Because this is a mystery in itself. How does someone who's chosen before the foundation of the world and the Lamb is slain before the foundation of the world get adopted in time and in time and space? You become one of God's children. It's a mystery how that happens. And yet you went from darkness into light because the Holy Spirit came and He joined you to Jesus. These truths and these realities are going to transcend everything in our life. And like I said at the beginning, it's when they don't that we get off track and get clouded in our minds. And it's these realities that are going to help us to walk with Christ as we get toward Ephesians 3, 4, 5. All right, let's stop there and get ready for worship. And I encourage everybody, move closer. It's going to be empty today. I'm tempted to rope off the back half of the chairs, but I won't do that. Because I trust that you're going to move up.